Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula Gordon. For the last 5,000 years, humans in Western culture have been under a spell. That's what our guest says. He says the spell is actually cast by alphabet-based literacy. While words crowded out images for our brain's attention, women dramatically lost social standing, and goddesses disappeared. For all the obvious good that written words have done, Dr. Schlein believes learning to read and write unbalanced the human brain and tossed our cultures into madness. Where does such a startling idea begin? For Leonard Schlein, it began when he was a youngster at the end of World War II, watching newsreels of Nazi atrocities.
In China, you can be a Confucian, and you can be a Taoist, and you can be a Buddhist all at the same time. Not a problem. In Western culture, you cannot be a Jew, a Catholic, and a Muslim. Impossible. So if there was a time in the world when nobody killed each other over religion, and then there was a time in the world when it seemed like everybody was killing each other over religion, I wanted to understand what happened, what changed.
Leonard Schlein is an author and thinker, chief of laparoscopic surgery at San Francisco's California Pacific Medical Center. Dr. Schlein's combined interests led him to his startling conclusions about alphabet-based literacy. He codified his ideas in his book, The Alphabet Versus the Goddess, The Conflict Between Word and Image. According to Dr. Schlein, photography has done for pictures what the printing press did for words. Powerful new visual technologies, including computers and the internet, are now driving monumental changes in human brains and cultures. At the top of the list, Dr. Schlein places dramatic increases in women's rights in today's literate societies. Bill Russell and I found Dr. Schlein's ideas intriguing and welcomed the opportunity to hear more. Dr. Leonard Schlein, I vividly remember being a little girl and the moment when I first got all the way through the alphabet. And I remember thinking that I had just unlocked the keys to the kingdom. Well, now, in the course of thinking along with your most recent work, I begin to wonder if what I was onto wasn't, in fact, the sorcerer's apprentice as I learned those letters. What do you think?
I think that children come into the world with a great number of neurons waiting to be stimulated. And we know that when you teach a child a lesson, then that group of neurons fires, and then you teach that lesson again, and it fires again, and it fires the surrounding neurons, and pretty soon you've burned into the child's brain a lesson that they'll remember all the days of their life, depending upon how you reinforce it. We also know that what a child doesn't learn, those neurons wither. So if a child doesn't learn a second language by a certain age, they're going to have a real hard time learning that second language in college, and they'll never speak it without an accent, as they would have had they learned it in school when they were very small.
Now, you say these things from the perspective of being a physician, a surgeon, in fact. So this isn't just kind of interesting. You're talking as a brain man, as well as a thinking man.
Well, I'm not. I have a deep interest in neuroscience. I've done a lot of vascular surgery where I've operated on carotid arteries to the brain. So I've long had a fascination with the functionings of the brain. But my point is that what is the effect of teaching children at a very early age a very powerful, linear, sequential, and artificial, I might add, method of reconstructing the world called the alphabet or numbers? You know, Western education consists of reading, writing, and arithmetic. And those are the three linear, sequential functions best performed by the left hemisphere of right-handed people. And I think for the ease of listening, I'm only going to refer to right-handed people throughout the program.
We can talk a little bit about left-handed people later.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to denigrate anybody. It's just that it gets so confusing if you start
and 90%
having
more or less
to qualify every statement you make. But and I believe, and I put this forth in The Alphabet Versus the Goddess, that the process of learning to read and write reinforces the left hemisphere of both boys and girls. And the left hemisphere of both boys and girls is the seat of many masculine functions as is the right hemisphere, is the seat of many feminine functions of both boys and girls, or men and women. So, you know, Marshall McLuhan, the media theorist, said the medium is the message. And by that he meant that the process by which you perceive information is actually more important than the content of the information. So in an oral culture where people speak to each other and they listen, speaking and listening are bilateral hemispheric affairs. I mean, when you're listening to somebody, your left hemisphere is following what they're saying in a very linear fashion. In fact, if you don't follow it in a linear fashion, you can't understand
them. You get lost.
But your right hemisphere is checking them out. I mean, you know, you're looking at them and you want to see if they have alcohol on their breath or dandruff on their shoulders or, you know, if they're shaking their head from side to side while they're agreeing with you or they're fidgeting. And that goes into the computational assessment of what's really going on in this conversation. So to listen to somebody, your right hemisphere and left hemisphere are both engaged. When you speak, even though your left hemisphere generates the words, to articulate them, you need both sides of your lips, tongue, and vocal cords. In fact, if you've been to the dentist and had Novocaine, you have trouble talking after you come out. You know, we've all had that experience. So to speak and listen, you need both hemispheres. But when you write, up until the invention of the typewriter for 5,000 years, the hand that wrote is the same hand that throws spears, swings swords, and pulls triggers. And you can put your left hand in your pocket if you're right-handed and write only with your right hand. And, you know, it didn't matter whether it was a man or a woman writing. It didn't matter what language they were writing in. It didn't matter what the content was they were writing. They still had to write with only one hand. And there are other differences that I go in the book about brain function that make reading and writing a function that's performed in different parts of the brain than speaking and listening.
There are revolutions to be explored when we come back. This is Dr. Leonard Schlein. Bill Russell and I are here, and we hope you will all be with us when we return in a moment with the Paula Gordon Show. Please stay tuned.